I think I'm ready. It's good to be able to stand here. I'm always so thankful to have this opportunity again to stand before you as I have done for so many years. It's hard to realize how many years have passed since I first moved here to be your evangelist. But I'm so thankful to God that I still have a little strength to stand here and speak to you from the Word of God. Now, this is not going to be a Mike Richardson sermon, 20, 25 minutes. But I promise you this, that if I preach until noon, then we'll take a break and go to lunch and we'll come back and I can finish. But nonetheless, I want to speak to you this morning from God's Word. If you will turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Those of you who we're blessed by attending our meeting this past week and hear Brother Brian Moody. By the way, if you didn't, you missed a great feast from the Word of God. But if you were here, you remember that Mike referred to Acts chapter 2 of the day of Pentecost and the things that were associated and done there in Acts chapter 2. And he talked a great deal about the first part, how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they preached the gospel and the recorded sermon. Of course, the miracle was that all the people there heard the gospel in their own language. And Peter's sermon is recorded here in Acts chapter 2. And I sincerely believe that what the other apostles preached to these other people was exactly the same as what Peter preached. And Peter told them that this Jesus who you crucified is the Christ that you've been looking for all these years. And it says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and cried out to the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift, Brian pointed out, was what the Spirit gave in this situation. It was salvation, remission of your sins, and the hope of heaven when this life is over. Now, let's start. If you have your Bibles open, and I hope you do, let's start at verse 41. And I'm reading, by the way, from the New King James. If you're still using the old King James, that's fine. But I would suggest you might get you a New King James, because a lot of those old words that we no longer understand have been brought up today. He begins there, writing, Luke does. He said, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you know, as I consider this thing, it seems that there is no end to the lessons that we can glean from certain passages. And it is so with this particular text here in Acts chapter 2. This was when the church was established. This is where the church was mentioned as being in existence. And it was composed of those who were saved that day, these 3,000 souls. This composed this early church. And I think that most of us recognize that this early Jerusalem church here in Acts chapter 2 as the model church. First of all, it was established by Christ's decree, and it was directed by the apostles. And thus we all must agree that this model church should also provide the pattern for us to follow today. This church, the church in Acts chapter 2, was faithful. And today, this morning, we want to look at the qualities of this church, which we can emulate in order that we ourselves here at Eastside may also be a faithful church, faithful in worshiping and serving the Lord. What were these qualities? Well, first of all, let's look here at verse 47. He said, praising God and having faith with all the people. They praised God. And so should we. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, the apostle wrote, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. Our lives as Christians should be to give glory and praise to God in everything that we do. In everything that we do. In Acts chapter 16, I have this reference there. Remember that Paul and Silas were cast in prison at Philippi? They were in this dungeon, and it says they were their feet were locked in stocks, so they just had to sit there and couldn't move. But what did they do? Well, there in verse 29 of Acts 16, he said, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Can you believe that? They were locked up in this dark dungeon, it says, and the prisoners heard them. They were there in this dark dungeon, you know, suffering all kinds of deprivations. And what were they doing? They were praising God. They were praising God. Going back to the Old Testament worthies praised God. I think the most notable may be David in his Psalms. A lot of times, that's who we think about. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I love this psalm. This When I begin reading it, I have to chuckle just a little bit. Because he said, make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, we talk about our singing. We sing off key and out of tune and everything else. But we ought to at least be making a joyful noise. They say that harmony is music. Anything that's not in harmony is noise. But he said, make a joyful noise. The New King James says, shout. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's us, brethren. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. That's what we're doing. That's what we have done this morning. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truths endure through all. We are to praise him in song. In Hebrews 2, verse 12, he said, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. The King James says, church. I will sing praise to you. That's a quote from Psalm 22, at verse 22. In Hebrews 13, at verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, the giving thanks to his name. This morning, it's been requested by some that when I preach this time, that I preach a sermon where we sing in the sermon. And so let's begin this part by singing hymn number 2. Hymn number 2.
Oh, hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. And his glory is exalted, and his glory. for trees and cedar, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping thing and beast and cattle, birds that in the heaven fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes greater, judges all, praise his name, young men and maiden, aged men and children small, let the praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
In verse 47, he continues, praising God and having favor with all the people. And so this early church, this model church, had favor with the people around them. And when we as children of God live as we should in the world, we will usually be respected by decent people and honorable people. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what's good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And don't be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 7, he's talking about these qualifications of an elder. He said, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The Bible teaches us to live right in the world. But it also teaches us concerning the world not to court the favor of the world. There in Galatians chapter 1 at verse 10, he asked, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please to men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If the world does not look upon us with favor, we still should live in such a way that they cannot accuse us of evil. In Titus 2, at verse 7, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, teaching, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing. You know, it's been said that we should live in such a way in this world that if we are ever accused of evil or wrongdoing, nobody will believe. That's the way that we should live. Turn your songbooks to number 454. Number 454. I love this song here. It's a beautiful song.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When somebody has been unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, to keep sweet, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
When we read at verse 46 here, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued daily, it says, in doing the work of God. Early Christians were active in doing the Lord's work. Acts 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You know, a fact that many many of us, members of the church, may not be privy to the fact that those who are always diligent in doing the Lord's work are the most happy, the most content people around. We're content. We're happy. No matter what comes, we're still content. We're still happy. In 1 Peter 2 and... 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 12. He said, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. In Galatians chapter 6 at verse 9, he said, let us not grow weary with doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we do not faint. We are to continually work and not be weary, faint-hearted. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you ever get tired of just doing good all the time? He said, don't do it. Why? Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can work and work and it looks like we're not getting anywhere, but don't worry about it. Just do it. Just do the work and the rewards will come. One of the rewards will be content, satisfaction. Be content. You know, how many of you here are not content for the situation you're in? The Bible says in everything be content. If you have food, clothing, shelter, he said, with that be content. Some of us get so upset. We had a preacher here. His idea that there's this great calamity coming, you know, and the world's going to pot and there's not going to be money, it's not going to be worth anything, there's not going to be any food, there's not going to be anything else, and they get all upset about it. Are you upset about that? Well, don't be. Why? Because the Lord said He'll take care of you. He says He will take care of you. I will provide. Having food and raiment, be content. He will provide. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But He said they continued there with one accord. With one. First Corinthians 1 at verse 10 says that we are. He said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. This church, this model church, worked in. We need to be united. Brian made a special point of this in the lesson here last week. That we are to work in unity. That we are not to have divisions among us. But we are to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And they sought to fulfill Christ's prayer in John 17 at verse 20. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for them who will believe on me through their word. Now he's talking about even us. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe. That's it. Do you know why there's so much infidelity, unbelief in the world today? One of the reasons is because there's so much division among those who claim to be followers of Christ. And he said, you be of the same mind, that you be one, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Our efforts here at Eastside should be in unity. But they must also be in keeping with the word of Christ. In Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation for which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, that means work, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Open your songbooks to number 219.
219. How sweet heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in another's peace delight and so fulfill the word when each can fill his brother's sight and with him bear.
In verse 46, there, it says, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They were hospitable. They broke bread from house to house and they ate their food with singleness of heart. They practiced hospitality. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, makes an interesting statement here. He said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You know who he's talking about? The example here is Abraham. When he saw these three men coming and he went down, he knew they were noble men, and he went and bowed before them and invited them into his house, and he fed them. They were strangers, but he entertained them. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 2, again speaking of elders, he said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. We are to be hospitable. Hospitality, sociability, are qualities of someone who sincerely seeks faith. faithfully to serve the Lord. In Acts 16, at verse 14, he talks about this certain woman named Lydia. Heard us from this conversion. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. And then on in verse 33, remember we referred to this Philippian jailer here. And after he was converted, they taught him the gospel and baptized him. He said, and they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately and he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. In Romans 12, there, at verse 13, it says, given to hospitality. If you read Romans 12, you find there the qualities of the ideal child of God. Read the whole thing and know all these qualities of this ideal Christian, the way that we should live. And he said, they are given to hospitality. Now, let me stop here and talk to you about a point that is worth our note. These common social meals, they were never eaten in the church. In the church. They were always eaten at home. Now notice 1 Corinthians 11. There they were corrupting the Lord's Supper. And they were bringing in baskets of food and drink, and they were having a fellowship meal. Whatever you want to call it, potluck, whatever. You know. And then they started building additions with their kitchens and their dining tables, and you know, they were feasting. They were turning the communion service into just a picnic. And he asked this question: what do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame them to have none? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. And skipping to verse 34, but if any is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. This feast that we partake of here on Sunday morning is not to satisfy to feed the belly, but it's to satisfy the soul. It's food. Food for the belly belongs at home and not in the church, in the worship of the church. Look at song number 416. Number 416. And notice words of this song. Whatever you do, it by the authority of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do not in name of man or creed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all, Lord, do all. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Be not
deceive my worldly greed. Do all in the name of the Lord. The Spirit says, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name. Do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Till toil and labor's here or not, do all in the name of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, if you'd be one, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name. Do all in the Lord. In our deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord.
They were benevolent. They cared for the needs of the poor among the saints. In Acts chapter 4, at verses 34. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Here he said, verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as many had need. And in chapter 4, he said in verse 34 and 35, nor was there any among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds from things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed it to each as anyone had need. Who received this gift? Did everybody in Jerusalem that was hungry come to the church and eat? No. The Bible says they, the believers were together and had all things common. And here in verse 34, nor was there any among them that lacked. This was for the care of the poor among the saints. In chapter 6, now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Now these Hebrews and Hellenists, these were all Jews that were there. And they were members of the church. But the Hebrews spoke one language, the Hellenists spoke another. The Hebrews spoke Hebrew. The Hellenists spoke Greek. And there was this dissension between them. You don't speak the same language that I do. Your skin is not the same color as mine. And there was dissension among them because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Those needy, these were needy saints. What about those who are not Christians? Are we to care for them? No, the church is not. The church has no obligation to those who are not Christian. Whose obligation is it then? It's ours as individuals. Galatians 6 verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Or in James 1:27, he said, pure religion and none defiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, a lot of our brethren want to argue this point, Galatians written to a church. But you read Galatians 6, and he's talking about our individual responsibility. He's talking about if a man, not a church, a man, and James 1:27, keep one's self, himself. Now, in Acts chapter 3, at verse 1, let me read you something. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from him. Notice who Peter and John are. These are the apostles. And these who had access to all this money that was accumulated when these people sold their houses and lands and brought them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to everyone as he had need. Now, he was a man who had need, and he thought he was going to get something. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. What's the matter, Peter? Couldn't you go over to the church treasury and get some money and give it to this guy? No. Why? Because he wasn't saved. He wasn't a Christian, a needy Christian. But he said, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Song number 395. It's not noon yet. Getting close. Number
setting sun, the only light.
Going back to verse 47. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These people converted other people. Notice what he said. The Lord added to the church daily. Daily, not just on that day, but every day, those who were being saved. Now, how were they being saved? Others were teaching them God's word, teaching them what to do to be saved. And that's implied here in verse 46. They were practicing the great, what's called the Great Commission, which the Lord left them when He was departing from them. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what did He just command them to do? He said, command them to go. He commanded them to go into all the world. And those who are baptized, He said, you teach them to do the same thing, the things that I have commanded you. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us what to preach. Preach the gospel. He that believes, talking about the gospel, he that believes the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe the gospel will be dead. In Acts chapter 4, or chapter 8, at verse 4, when Saul was raising havoc, committing Christians to prison and all that. In verse 4 it says, therefore those who were scattered abroad went everywhere, hiding in holes. No. They went everywhere preaching the word. Now let me ask you a question. Do we do that? You know, we have such great opportunity here to preach the gospel. When's the last time we had a baptism? When is the last time we converted anybody? Think about that, brethren. We need to be busy. You know, the elders are aware of that. And we're going to do some of that. We're going to do something of that. But we need to think about all of these things. In song number 300, where is it? Song number 351. By the way, this is the last poem. Song number 351. Leave you with this question, this request. All right, let's sing. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if a strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bring them, come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? All of these qualifications that we've talked about, these qualities, are required of those today, those of us who seek to serve God faithfully. That includes us. That includes the East Side churches. East Side Church. These are the qualifications of a faithful church. If we want to be a faithful church, brethren, we must emulate. We must emulate these qualities of this model church in Acts 2, the church of Jerusalem. And so, if we're not doing it, we need to get busy. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you have this opportunity to become one. Again, Jesus said here in Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe.